Almost missed my cue. I can't hear back there. So I want to take care of a few orders of business, though, before we get started. First of all, the Bronco jersey, okay? So some of it is there's a small bit of my DNA, part of being a Hutchinson, that's ornery. So when we got the memo to wear red, white, and blue, I wore Bronco instead, okay? Second thing is, as much as Dave's a friend and as much as I do want the Bills to win today, I kept hearing the scriptures from Ephesians in the back of my head, which said, stand firm in the word of the Lord. Because the thing is you make little sacrifices, pretty soon it's a slippery slope, and the next thing you show up in a Vikings jersey. All right, so that is the Bronco jersey clear, good? We all know where it is, because I mean, I feel like I'm having lots of individual conversations about that, and I just want to get out there. I'm really excited to have the opportunity to teach. I'm going to teach this week. Dave's going to lead worship. We're going to swap next week. That's going to be unbelievable, guys. So make sure you show up for that. So I'm excited to open our teaching on parables, and I want to start with a little story. It happened actually, if you go through like two sets of walls here, and you would be standing in the kitchen of this school, there was a member of our food services, and I had this situation on my hands, and I have her, and she's in tears. Like tears are streaming down her face. And next to her, I have this seventh grade student, and he is smiling awkwardly. And I realized something, that small things matter, because see, the reason she was crying is he had just presented her with probably one of the most amazing gifts any of us have ever seen, and he spent all his time and energy to go look for it, to save up the money, and he bought her an oven mitt. Yeah, kind of small. Kind of tiny, but here's the story behind it. Day after day, he would come through the line, and he would watch her grab, like, whether it would be like the hamburger patty or something like that, and she had like the plastic glove on, and he would watch her burn her hand almost every day. And so he came to me and was wondering if he could go through and buy this gift, and I was like, of course. So he went out, researched it, went, came back as proud as could be. He bought the most expensive oven mitt there was at Walmart. And I mean, honestly, just before this picture, she's in tears. It's like one of the most meaningful things in her life. I love small things, don't you? I love small things that just kind of catch you off guard. If anybody knows me, I sometimes can go to these movies that are supposed to be high and impactful, and I'm like, oh, that was good. And then I find myself at Cheaper by the Dozen 2 in tears because some small moment in it catches me. But I love small moments. I love Reader's Digest. One of my favorite stories in the Reader's Digest is there's this story of a family. They had kind of gone without food for a few weeks, and they finally had enough money to get some food and get things up to par in their house. And they're going through the grocery line, and as they're going through the grocery line, they ended up $18.74 over. And so now the family was sitting there, and they were trying to have to figure out, what do we take back? What do we leave here, knowing that we'll have enough food, but maybe not exactly what we wanted? And the person behind them sees this and hands over a $20 bill and says, you know, you take all this food home. And he goes on to explain that his mom is terminally ill with cancer, is in hospice, that he stops by this grocery store every day to buy her flowers. And then he brings her flowers to hospice, but his mom has been incredibly mad that he keeps doing this because she thinks it's a waste of money. So he spends the 20 bucks that day that he normally spends on flowers, and he helps that family go home. And I don't know where that story goes after that, but I love little things. Don't you love little things? I love little things. And sometimes we underestimate little things because we live in a world of big, right? We live in a world of Amazon. We live in a world of Walmart. We live in a world of things blowing up, of things going viral, of things going global. And even in some of those big, huge things, sometimes we miss the power of small. That viral thing, that global thing, it started small. Maybe didn't even have a big vision when it started. It was just something somebody was doing, and they're putting it out there. So our first parable today that we're going to talk about deals with small, and it comes from Luke chapter 13. If you have your scriptures with you, you can turn to Luke chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 21. And when we think of parables, it's Jesus telling a story, trying to communicate some sort of spiritual truth or moral lesson. Jesus had a knack for telling stories. Jesus had a knack for not answering your question directly, and actually not even giving you answers, but giving you more questions to work through and to wrestle through. To give a little context to this, Luke is mainly concerned about keeping the history of who Jesus was intact, that people realize kind of what the historical Jesus was like, so that the church keeps that in mind and keeps that going and keeps that moving forward. In this context, things are starting to heat up between Jesus and the Pharisees. Just before this, I don't know if it happened the day before it, but in the dialogue that Luke gives us, there's this situation where Jesus showed up at the synagogue and he healed this old lady who was bent over and who had been struggling for many years. And the Pharisees were indignant because he broke Sabbath. All right? So here he's this little thing working a situation for this little unknown old lady, and at the same time, it's taking on this big, huge religious establishment. He's taking on their orthodoxy. He's taking on their theology a little bit, right? And so this story just happens, and then the next story is Jesus talking about the kingdom of God, and it says this, and this is the next story. It says, then Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? When we think of a kingdom, right? King means somebody who's in charge, who oversees it. Dome means an area. So what does the area that God is in charge of, and we believe that the whole world is God's and everything in it, what does the world that God's in charge of look like? What's it like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. Again he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took, and in this day and age a man can break bread too, okay, people? That a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. I keep pointing that way, but I got to point this way, all right? So a couple things. First, I want to talk about parables. Like I mentioned, a parable is a story that Jesus often uses to give us a spiritual truth or a moral truth or tell us a little bit about something. But I think parables are more powerful than that. When you think of the song that we were just singing and it talked about, like, we would drain the ocean if it was filled with ink trying to talk about God. We can't come up with the exact words. We can't come up with the exact way to put it on paper. I think parables are Jesus's way of communicating. And here's a couple things I would say about parables, some things I've heard from other people that just really resonate with me. The first is, I think parables are designed because sometimes there are truths that are so true that you can only speak of them in metaphor or similes or in story. You know, right? There's some things in the life that are so true, you can only tell stories or metaphors. You can't sit down and create just an exact, scientific, clear understanding of what it is. And so I think that's why Jesus tells parables. Sometimes there are some things that are so true, they have to be told in metaphor or simile. They have to be told in a parable. Here's another thing that I think about parables. I think parables so often are so true, or they deal with a truth that is so true that it makes us groan. In other words, we see it and it just kind of, boom, it jolts our inside like, wow, what does that mean? And all of a sudden it creates discomfort and questions and it gets us thinking and it gets us moving in a certain area. And the last thing I would like to say about parables, I think parables are designed to create a mess. Often we talk about God being healing, and I believe God is a healer, but I also believe God sometimes creates the wound because it's in picking up the mess and the wound where we learn, where we grow, where we become better, where we move forward. And so I think of this with parables too. I think of, like, once we can tidy God up into these neat little boxes and sayings and doctrine and things like that, once we've done that, I believe we're no longer talking about God. Instead, I think God causes us to think. I think God causes us to struggle. I think God causes us to learn and to grow and things like that. So I think of that being the power of this parable. And I want to focus just on two pieces of this parable. This parable, we talk about the scriptures being like a diamond, that you could just tweak it a little each way and you could get a new insight or a new reading. So we could probably, if Dave wanted to, we could probably spend the next 52 weeks on one parable and just tweak it and tweak it. So there's a ton in here. So if you're interested in it, go get a book from the library. I want to talk about two parts of it. I want to talk just about like a mustard seed and like a yeast, all right? So the first thing that it gives us as an example, or the first piece in this, is this idea of a mustard seed. Now, I want to show you how big of a thing Jesus uses to compare the kingdom to. Everybody see that? No, you don't, but it's here. This is the thing, this right here is the thing that Jesus is comparing the kingdom to. It's a small seed, but let me show you what this seed could grow into if you lived in the Middle East, all right? So I'm going to compare it, see it right there, to this. It grows into a shrub that kind of at its smallest state is about 6 feet tall and about 6 feet wide, or a weed that's about 6 feet tall and about 6 feet wide. It can grow up to 20 feet tall, 20 feet wide. Get the comparison? Okay, so now the next thing I want to show you is yeast, and then we'll talk about these just a little bit, okay? It talks about just a little bit of yeast into 60 pounds of flour. I really wanted to bring 60 pounds of flour, but when I calculated it, it was expensive, okay? So I brought 2 pounds of flour. And I want to show you the idea there. So the idea is that if you put a little, you only need a little bit of yeast in this 60 pounds of flour to make bread, to turn it into something, for it to go somewhere. And obviously bread sustains people, has a lot of imagery. We're not even going to go into that today. But I just want to give you a little comparison. And obviously the yeast is kind of right down in there where this is nice and full. You see this comparison? Right? Somehow, this real simple thing, it's this idea of small becoming big. Small becoming big. And with New Year's just around, some of you have made resolutions. I quit doing it. That way I don't fail at them. But I thought instead of doing resolutions, I'm kidding. I have some goals and resolutions. But I thought instead of big, huge resolutions, because I was brewing on this scripture, what if instead I thought about little things? Just little things. And so my mind, in prepping for today, got to thinking about little things. First thing, I don't know if any of you remember this. Do any of you remember the Alaskan airline that wrecked? And I know it's just really being positive today, that wrecked and killed 88 people. It was kind of in the mid-1990s. It was flying from Mexico to San Francisco. Anybody remember that? It was kind of one of our bigger airline crashes kind of early on. It was all over the news. When they investigated the cause of it, what they found is this. You want to talk about little things that create big things. This is on the negative side, but I think it illustrates it. What they found is there was a bolt about yay big, about a bolt about this size. And what they had found is 3 to 4 of the, give me the right word, threads had worn out. And that caused that bolt to slip, and it lost power to the tail, and it crashed. Killed 88 people. But here's what was even more interesting. What they found is that those threads, that never should have happened to those threads, what they found is that that airline wasn't doing its checklist of maintenance. And do you know what the little thing they weren't doing? Do you know what little thing caused that wreck? They weren't dabbing a dab of oil and lubricating that on their checklist. And that's what caused the threads to be worn out. And to think about just this little step in their checklist and just this little dab of oil ended up blowing up into a big thing. But I got thinking about that farther, and I wanted to think about how do little things get blown up into big things in my own life? I was working on this message a few weeks ago, known as yesterday. So I had ideas, I had thought some things, I was brewing on some things, but I kind of had to organize it. And I was also, I've been thinking about, okay, what does this year want to look like for me? What are some things I want to do? And I have certain themes that come over and over for me. Often they deal with money, often they deal with health, often they deal with my career or, you know, expanding some things. And I had some themes going over. And so I was thinking about small things and how they blow up, and I was drinking my coffee. Anybody here drink coffee? All right, anybody here go to the stores and drink coffee? Really, like two of you? Liars. Liars. So this has kind of turned into a habit for me, a bad habit. I like it. It's chocolatey, it's sweet, because I drink the frou-frou stuff, right? It's chocolatey, it's sweet, it's cold. On a cold day, it's warm. You know, I love the senses of it. I kind of know my coffee people, so I get a little social check-in. So it's kind of become a hobby for me. So I was sitting there, and this is sitting next to me, and I'm kind of feeling this little conviction, like, hey, why don't you work through your a little thing for yourself? And so I said, what if I did something different than this? And this is hard for me. I can't even tell you I'm going to do this, but I'm thinking it through, okay? This costs $5.15, okay? It's expensive. But you know what? You probably buy sports stuff or some dumb stuff too, right? So get off my back. This is the no judgment zone. We're about little things moving forward. All right, this costs $5.15. So if I calculate that right, I like to do it before I come to work. I don't necessarily need it any other time. It's just like a routine for me. I get my car, I go by. If I calculate that right, I spend $25.75 on this a week, if I go 5 days a week. I can't say I do that, but let's pretend I do, all right? So $25.75 a week, or $115.87 a month, right? Or $1,390.44 a year. That's a pretty darn good vacation, right? See how little things add up? But this little thing can add up even bigger, because I said, well, what if I continue this habit for the next 20 years? All right, $5 I'm just going to say instead of $5.15, right? Let's see what happens over 20 years. Over 20 years, if let's say I quit drinking it, and let's say I put it in some sort of investment, not even being like, I think 6% is reasonable. Like, let's just say that investment makes 6%. If I make no interest, I'll have $27,808.80. Not bad, right? Even a better vacation. Not quite a car, only half of a truck. However, if I put it in something making 6%, I will make another $25,995 off of it in 56 cents. So not only will I have what I saved, but I'll make $25,995.56, which will give me a grand total of $53,804.36. The small really can become big, can it? The small really can't. But let's say you want to go at a different way. Let's pretend, look, I'm not in the investment side. I need something a little bit more tangible. Maybe you live in a house, okay? Maybe instead of investing the money and having some nest egg, maybe you just want to just make an extra payment on your house instead with this $5.15. I just did a $200,000 house, so those of you that's huge, live with it. Those of you that's small, live with it. Let's pretend you live in a $200,000 home, and let's just say you make $115.87 extra each month. You make a payment like that to kind of see where it goes. Here's what would happen. By the time you paid off your mortgage, by the way, I did this on a 30-year mortgage, so if you're a 15-year person, it might change. You would save $30,000.72 and $63. And you would be done paying for your house 5 years and 7 months early. Little things can sure kind of become big things, can't they? And isn't this the way of Jesus? I mean, doesn't Jesus just model and embody this himself? Think about it. Jesus was an illegitimate child. He was a fish feces, all right? Bass, in case you didn't put that together. He would have been called that. In fact, he is called it in the scriptures because sometimes they say, isn't this Jesus, son of Mary, right? Which in a day and age, you were connected to a father. It was a way of saying, he doesn't even have a dad. How are you going to listen to this guy? So you got an illegitimate child from the Galilee, which is this small kind of area where a bunch of blue-collar people that don't really get it are. On top of that, he lives in the town of Nazareth, right? And then you think about his ministry. He goes and he starts his ministry by gathering up a whole bunch of blue-collar people, starting with fishermen, tax payers, people who really aren't the influential in society. And then it just kind of blows up from there. But even more, you think about the pinnacle of his ministry is, I'm going to give myself on a cross during the biggest holiday of the year, when honestly most people weren't worried about this common criminal hanging on a cross during the biggest holiday of the year. I'm going to give myself on the cross, and the biggest thing I'm going to be known for is that an unknown tomb is going to be empty. But here we sit today in a world where, what is there, 7 billion people in the world? And it's the largest following in the world. It's blown up. It's blown up. And not only that, how does he want to maintain this movement? He looks at his disciples, and these disciples put it in the scripture, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it in the hands of you guys to spread this thing, to keep this thing going, and guess what? You guys are going to do even greater things than I am. Gall. He didn't do a good job of interviewing me, because he never would have given me that. Small becomes big. That's just how the kingdom works. And so I wonder how we as a church, I wonder how we as a people should be concentrating on small things. So often we're concentrating on big things and big arguments, but maybe we should be concentrating on small things. All right, I want to go, oh, I forgot a couple examples I had. This is a cool example. You want to talk about small things? See this guy on the right? He's in his break room. Every time on break, he takes time to read to people who can't read. I don't know where that's going to go. Man, that's a small, simple thing, but I wonder how that will blow up, right? I wonder where that'll go. Oh, yeah, I've almost forgot this one, too. You want to talk about small things blowing up into big things? I am super happy in my life, and I'm super happy to be married to Allison Hutchinson, right? Some of you know her. She's way cooler and better than I am. So always go above, right? Go above your limit. And so that's what I did. So see that little orange dot? That's where this life-changing decision happened. And I can tell you I was driving a 1990 Grand Am, not even a Grand Prix. All right, and we were heading north on I-29, and I can tell you that one high schooler at the time, maybe still was middle schooler at the time, just said, I was dating a different girl at the time. So it was a high schooler. I dated a different girl at the time, and it kind of looked like we were going to head towards marriage. And that little punk just wasn't trying to be profound or anything. We were just talking. He goes, I always thought you'd marry Allison. And then that rocked my world and changed everything. He wasn't trying to be profound. He wasn't trying to speak into anything. He was just throwing it out there, right? Just putting it out there. That little thing changed my life and changed my life for the better. Anyways, we got to move on. I want to go back to mustard seed, and I want to go back to yeast, because there's one other quality sometimes that we miss with these that I don't want us to miss, okay? So not only does a mustard seed grow from this tiny little seed into this, you may not know this, but the illustration or the item that Jesus gives for an illustration here is actually an invasive and noxious weed in the Middle East. It's something lots of people spend their time trying to keep it out of their beautiful, well-tended gardens and things like that, all right? And then another thing, if you think about the yeast here, another quality of the yeast is this idea, like, if you put it into the dough, it kind of spreads through the whole dough. So there's another quality to these little things that when you throw these little things out, it's that it kind of catches on and it spreads and it becomes uncontrollable and it gets out of hand really quickly and it gets hard to control. So when you think of the mustard seed, I call it the dandelion kingdom. You see these dandelions, you know, it's springtime, it's warm, green grass. You see the dandelion and part of you wants to go, oh, what a nice little flower, right? But when you see the first dandelion, you could live in a neighborhood and this dandelion could be 8 houses down and you see the dandelion and you're like, I'm going to go pick that dandelion myself, right? Because we all know it's not, oh, what a cute little, it's little, but we all know it's not a cute little thing because, right? Which leads to, right? And by this time, that cute little weed, if you want to get rid of this, you're dropping nuclear missiles. I mean, you're putting so many chemicals on your yard that your family changes into a different species if they play in the yard. All right? Just that cute little invasive weed. The other quality that I think Jesus is getting to here at the kingdom is how things can spread, how they can just take off and go. I want to show you another spread thing. If you're a parent or a teacher, anybody know what this is? You might not because it's so like 5 months ago. Yeah, all the teachers are booing. This is a fidget spinner. I will remember, not where I saw my first spinner, but when I saw my first fidget spinner at George McGovern, it was in the lunchroom, right? And the kid's doing it. And when I just saw one, I thought, well, that's good. He's got something to do that's not disruptive. And then pretty soon I come the next day, and there's like 7. And then pretty soon I come and every kid you're talking to everywhere is like. Fidget spinner. The interesting thing about the fidget spinner is it spent and it was kind of so viral, we don't even know who started it. Some say it was a chemist that started it actually in kind of the mid-90s. Some give this guy credit that was sitting in meetings and he wanted things to do when he was on the phone and bored and that brought it on. It didn't last very long, but it spread. I mean, and if you had kids, I remember like sitting in my car and I'd look over, you know, to my left, and then in the passenger seat would be like a middle school kid. Right? And if you had a middle school kid, you went through the line and they're like, can I get a $15 fidget spinner? And you're looking at it, you're like, it's a bearing. It's a $1.25 bearing. You want me to spend $15 on it? Well, it worked. In 1 year, these sold $500 million worth, right? So I think when you think of that yeast, when you think of that mustard seed, it's something like that. Let me ask you this quick question. Any of you have Nike stuff on? Shoes, hats, clothes? Raise your hand if you do. Well, this didn't go as well as I thought. Few people do. All right, but Nike's kind of around, right? You know, if you think about it, all it was some guy that was on the track team, right, in Oregon. He thought he had a new way to make shoes feel better, so he put a bunch of chemicals in a waffle iron and then made some new shoes. And now today, probably, let me ask this question. How many of you own something Nike? Like, why, how? I don't know, but it caught on, it spread, it moved. The mustard seed is this noxious weed. I wanna show you one more thing, and then we're gonna wrap it up here today. I thought about the caribou thing. Not only that the small things grow to big things, but it spreads to other part of your lives. Anybody guess what these numbers are? Hey, calories. So not just financially, but if I looked at my life, every time I eat one of those, it's 530 calories of course, not wasted calories, which turns into 2,650 in a week, which turns out to 11,925 in a month, which means I could save 143,100 calories of good, clean eating a year. So it starts to spread, and then I wonder how that spreads to my weight, which spreads to what I'm willing to do, which might spread to that I'm hitting 40 almost, but maybe at least when I'm 50, maybe I can still go climb a mountain with my kids. I mean, you just don't know where it goes, right? It blows up, it lows. One more. I gotta do this. One more. My wife, when we were on vacation, I overheard this conversation, and so did my daughter overhear this conversation. Her and Adam Seif were talking. If you know Adam, he likes to journal. It's a little girly, but let's give it to him. He likes to journal, and he journals all kinds of ways. I honestly wish I liked to journal, and I try to journal, so I probably have about 20 years worth of journals that go about 3 weeks. So you'll be able to piecemeal my history someday. So they were talking, and Allison just kind of dropped. She said, yeah, I heard this. I read this one thing. So somebody else gave the idea that they do just a one-line journal. So in other words, they just write one line in the journal each day. And just dropped it at that, and I was like, that's a neat idea. Another thing for me to not do, because I'll start doing it and quit doing it. And then anyways, a few days later, after we get back from vacation, we get this text, and it's a picture. Adam started the one-line journal, right? So I'm like, oh, it's interesting how that conversation just took off. Well, my daughter was sitting in the back seat. She goes to school. The first day of school, they're asking them to think through goals. So we're sitting at the lunch table, right, or the supper table, and she says, yeah, I thought for my goal I'm going to do the one-year journal because I overheard you and Adam talking about it. Right? So I started my one-year journal. Now, I don't know what this will grow into or won't grow into. Right now, it's not very profound. Feels like there's a spike driven through my head. Sick. That's my first day entry because I was terribly sick, right? You know, so, I mean, it's not like we're the statement my next day, because I'm still kind of sick and I'm meeting with one of our teachers from here and he's passing a kidney stone while we're putting together a program, says, we are getting old. I don't know where it'll go. I don't know where it'll go, but it's spreading, right? It's moving on, and maybe even some of you will want to spread it a little bit. So I'm going to leave you with a couple things. First of all, a quick observation, all right, about both a mustard seed and the yeast. If you notice, these come in two different packets. And by the way, if the custodians tell me there was a mess on tomorrow, I'm going to blame it on Dave. Call Dave Campbell, the pastor. I'm going to go sit this right here. These come in two separate packs. Couple interesting things about yeast and about mustard seeds, okay? First of all, yeast. This organism, I got to read here because this is science, so you got to be right on. And I like kind of artsy things. It says, this organism lies dormant until it comes into contact with warm water and the flour, and then it has this chemical reaction which creates carbon dioxide, which makes your bread grow, right? Another thing about the seed here. Interesting thing about this seed has evolved to deal with poor soil, doesn't need a lot of moisture, and extreme heat. However, for this seed to grow, it does need some sort of soil. All right? So I believe, yeah, small things do grow into big things, right? But for the small thing to grow into a big thing, you got to throw it into the mix. Correct? I wonder how many small things we're holding in our pockets, our minds, our hearts, right? And we just need to throw it into the mix. And I believe when we talk about the Christian faith, I believe that the mix is community. Right? You got to throw the small things into community. That community could be work. That community could be your church. That community could be your family. That community could be your friendship circle. I want to just share one example of this, and I share a lot of personal examples because, well, I did my message yesterday. I want to show one example of throwing it into the mix. Some of you know that I work as the assistant principal here. About once a year, I become a low-level celebrity on a Facebook page in Sioux Falls that if you work and you're productive, you don't participate in, so you might not know it. But sometimes people are super pleased with my decisions, and part of what I know as part of my career is to give up the right to be understood. But at one time this year, somebody made a statement on this thing, and it blew up. Now, I don't know everything it said because I refuse to read it, but some people read it and then text me to let me know that it's going on, right? Which is awesome. So a lot of things compared me to like dog feces and, you know, we're going to come and beat this guy up and we're going to do whatever. And there was like 200 responses to it. It was just rolling. And it was very interesting to me. The situation behind it was really little. I can't tell you it, you know, but it was so small and minute. And the thing just blew up. Well, a few days later, we were hanging out with some of our friends and stuff. A few days later, all of a sudden, I start getting these little texts. By the way, the site's called Rants and Raves. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? I've never been a rave yet on the site, but someday I will be. And so these people just kept saying rave, and they would say these unbelievably encouraging things to me. And it was so interesting, like that's going to be a moment that will stick out in my life for a long, long time. But it's so interesting, it was probably a 30-second thing for each individual. And it was so little. And it just welled up and it kind of caught on because more of them kept doing it. And it just kind of kept spreading and spreading and spreading. And, you know, those little things absent from community, absent from relationships may not have been a big a deal. But those little things thrown out into the mix of community, it blew up, and I remember just thinking two things. Number one, I'm so grateful and I'm so honored for the community that God has placed me in. And then the second thing is I felt unbelievable, like sadness for people who don't have community. You know, where they can't throw out the little things and they can't throw the little things. So I want to leave you with three questions here today. One, what are some little thoughts, ideas, gestures, and actions I need to take and get them out there? Maybe in your work, maybe in your family, maybe in your friendship circle, maybe in your community somewhere else. Number two, how do I foster a community where things can grow and spread? How do I have something to throw it in the mix to, right? Make sure I can throw these small things in the mix. And then number three, what is going to be the first little thing I'm going to do, and when this week will I do it? So what's that little thought? Where's that little mix? Where's that little community? And when are you going to get it done this week? Because see, little things, see it right down there, grow into big, fat, chubby things. And then they spread. So would you please stand with me and receive this as your benediction? May you discover how big the small things can grow, how wide they can spread, and how unpredictably beautiful they are when thrown into the mix of community. Go in grace and peace.